God. And so perhaps prayers to a great God would be a better statement, but I think you know what we mean this evening. Look at the end, the last two verses, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we trust God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. Over this past number of weeks, we've been looking at some aspects of prayer, and the desire in my heart is, and no doubt in your heart, is that we would be encouraged to pray, not just publicly, but privately in our own prayer time, that we would believe in prayer, that we would realize that prayer works. And again, we say that reverently tonight because we know that God answers prayer. And when people pray, God moves. And we've seen it over this past number of weeks. For this church, for your life to function as God would have it to function, then we need to be men and women of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We looked at Abraham's prayer. Indeed, if you like, Abraham was praying for souls and how we need to pray for souls. We looked at the servant's prayer. He was really praying for guidance. We looked at a mother's prayer who was praying for her child. We looked at a child's prayer who was praying that God would speak to them in Samuel. Speak for thy servant heareth. We looked at the king's prayer and how the king was praying for trouble in the land. He spread it before the Lord. We looked at national prayer. Standards had gone so bad. People had moved so far away from the word of God. And as I said on that night, we can moan about it, we can complain about it, and we understand why we do. But perhaps the best thing we can do is pray. Pray for our land. Pray for a move of the Spirit of God in our land. Last week we looked at personal prayer, and it really was a prayer for growth. And how Jabez wanted to be blessed of God. He wanted to enlarge his coast. He wanted more of what God had for him. He wasn't praying selfishly. He was asking God for the things that God wanted him to have. Tonight I've called this courageous praying. This perhaps is the boldest prayer of all. This is a prayer that I say again reverently, that perhaps the Spirit of God is challenging us tonight. Would you pray this prayer? Are you brave enough to pray this prayer? Are you courageous enough tonight to get down before the Lord and say, search me, O God, and know my heart? It takes a big man and a big woman to pray it sincerely. Because the truth is that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And sometimes we need God just to reveal what we're really like. And so that's what we want to look at this evening. Psalm 139 is a wonderful psalm. If you look at verse number 1, it talks about the omniscience of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought. For if God is so omnipresent, he knows our thoughts. Nobody can read our thoughts. Sometimes we can look at each other and we say, a penny for your thoughts. But God can read our thoughts. God knows exactly where you are tonight. And he knows exactly what you're going through tonight. And then in verses 7 and 8, you see the omnipresence of God. David says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And here, David's using hyperbole. He says, no matter where I go, you're there. Not only does he know, but he's with us. No matter where we are. Now, we could use this in a negative sense. I'm being positive here this evening. God knows tonight. And God's there beside you tonight. He's there with you tonight. You not only see the omniscience and the omnipresence of God, but you see the omnipotence of God. Glance down to verse 13. And David says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me. And you see, he talks about me in the mother's womb. David wouldn't have liked abortion. As far as David was concerned, when you're in the womb, you're a me. You're a he. You're a person. David would have said that abortion is murder. That's what David would have said, and that's what the Word of God teaches. Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And here he talks about the omnipotence of God. Not only can we say tonight that God knows, and God's there with you, but God can. God's got the power to help you tonight. Sometimes you could have somebody with you and they're really not much use. I called in to see Walter today, but really he'd be better with anybody other than me. I'm not much use to Walter. But I like to look at it and see how things are going. But when you have the Lord with you, he can. No matter what it is, he can. And so there's some wonderful teaching in this psalm this evening. David is facing enemies here, and he's praying that God would deal with the enemies. Look at verse 19. It's one of these imprecatory prayers in the Psalms you get where he's praying that God will deal with his enemies. It's really an Old Testament thing. Verse 19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as mine enemies. And David's praying that God would deal with the wicked that's around him, the wicked that's against him, and all the wicked outside him. And David wants this wickedness to be dealt with. Then when we come to the end of the psalm, he's not praying that the wickedness without will be dealt with. He's praying that the wickedness within will be dealt with. Yes, there's wickedness out there. There's sin out there. There's disobedience out there. There's all sorts of things going on out there. And we want to pray that God will deal with it. But then there's things going on in here. In our hearts. And that's what David prays for this evening. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, we'll probably do this some Sunday. We'll ask the question, what was David's greatest victory? We're coming near the time when he will be with Saul and have an opportunity to get rid of Saul. And if you were to ask, what was David's greatest victory? Perhaps we could say when he slew the lion and the bear. That was no mean thing for a young shepherd boy to do. Of course, we would immediately think of him, how he defeated Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and what a great feat that was. I know that God was with David, but we stand back and look at it from our perspective. David slew the bear and the lion. David slew Goliath, but I think David's greatest victory was the victory over himself in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And the men of David said unto him, David was in the cave, and he had the opportunity to get rid of Saul. Behold the day which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as thou seemest good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. There were those saying, cut his throat. And David cut a little bit of his garment. That was Saul. And that was David's greatest victory. He had the victory over himself. You know, self would have wanted to cut the head of Saul. Self would have wanted to draw blood. But David had a victory over self. And surely that was his greatest victory. What was the most courageous thing that David ever did? Was it the lion and the bear? Was it Goliath? I would suggest tonight that this was David's most courageous thing, to pray this prayer. This is not David going through the motions. This is not David entering into vain repetition. Because if it was, the Spirit of God wouldn't have recorded it. And so we know this is a man praying this prayer from the depths of his heart. And I think this is David's greatest courage, that his heart would be searched. C.H. Spurgeon said this in the Treasury of David. He needs to be a true man who puts himself in such a crucible. Would you and I do that this evening? Would we honestly come before the Lord and just lay all before him and say, God, search my heart and see if there be any wickedness in me. David had said, slay the wicked. Now he wants the wicked slain within him. Every now and then we like to have a spring clean. Maybe once a year I'll try and tidy up the study. I used to have a little thing in it. I've lost it now, and it used to say, well, you set your tea, not coffee, tea. Christians drink tea, not that coffee stuff. And it used to say, a cluttered desk is a sign of a genius. And I used to take that literally, because I thought I'd leave mine really, really cluttered. But now and again, you have to have a spring clean. Like Nehemiah, when he looked upon Jerusalem, and they wanted to build a wall. Do you remember Judas said, there is much rubbish. And sometimes there's a lot of rubbish that we have to get rid of, and we need to have a good spring clean. We need a spiritual spring clean as well. I wonder, have we the courage that David had to pray sincerely, honestly, and humbly to the Lord? Sometimes it's the rubbish of bad feelings. Sometimes feelings towards others. And we need to say, God, search me. Lord, look into my heart and see the root of this. Sometimes we become careless and insensitive to the word of God. Sometimes we become slack in our prayer life, and we need to stop and we need to come before the Lord. Sometimes we're cold, we're lukewarm, and we need to say, search me, O God, my actions try, and let my life appear as seen by thine all-searching eye, to make my ways clear. We need to get a good look at ourselves sometimes. And really, that's what we want to do this evening. I read something in one of the papers today. I don't even know what paper it was. That I think it's Aldergrove introducing these machines that when you walk through them, they'll be able to see right through you. And they'll be able to see if you're hiding anything. In a way, that's what we're doing tonight, only in a spiritual sense. We're having a heavenly x-ray tonight. And we're saying, Lord, come and search our heart this evening. Let's break this down very simply tonight. We want to talk, first of all, about the only one who can peer into our hearts. Look at verse 23. Search me, O God. There's no point asking me to look into your heart. There's no point asking someone else to search your heart. I would even suggest that you can't trust yourself to do it. I've met many people with many problems and disputes and disagreements, sometimes between husbands and wives, sometimes between brothers and sisters in the Lord, sometimes in families. And the one thing you rarely get is someone that can see the fault in themselves. Always someone else's fault. He said, she said, they did. And it takes a big man to see the fault in himself. What I'm trying to say is we can't trust ourselves to do this job. We need to come before the Lord and say, search me, O God. I think there's an intensity in this prayer. Search me, O God. He's really coming before God. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins. And God is the only one that can really search our hearts. We can come to him with a broken heart, because the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. We're told in Isaiah that he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We can come when our heart is weak. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. We can come when we're unstable, when we're unstable, and we need to be established to the end. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. That he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. And we can come with so many heart issues to God, but we're just coming simply and we're saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. I want to suggest a couple of ways in which the Lord can search our hearts. One I've described here as interrogation. What I simply mean is question. Sometimes when you ask someone a question, you're trying to find out something about them. And God can ask us questions. Like he asked Adam a question in Genesis. Who told thee that thou was naked? What a heart-searching question. And Adam's heart is being searched by God. It's revealing, if you like, the disobedience in the heart of Adam. Who told thee thou was naked? And Adam is going to have to come clean. God is searching his heart through questions, through interrogation. Sometimes the interrogation can reveal division. Do you recall the question God asked Cain? And I know the story here, and I'm taking the question a little bit out of context in one way, but in another way I'm not. Genesis 4 verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? What a question. What a heart-searching question when he had killed his brother. And Cain's been asked by God, what a searching question when it comes to division. When it comes to disobedience, and as God asks that question, where is Abel thy brother? Is there bitterness in our hearts? Is there something that we're going to have to confess before the Lord? Interrogation reveals disobedience, reveals division. Sometimes it reveals the direction we're going in. And this next question is one that some great preachers have preached on. I remember Dr. Paisley preaching on it, and C.H. Spurgeon has preached on it. And they're much better preachers than me. And it's the question that God asked of Elijah. Elijah had climbed up into the cave. He was glad he'd got away from Jezebel, and he felt not too bad. He'd somehow got away. But here was this great man of God lying in a cave. And God says, what doest thou here, Elijah? What a question. I think it was Spurgeon told the story about someone in a public house, and he saw them going in, and he asked the question of them as a believer, what doest thou here, Elijah? And God can ask questions that cause us to search our hearts. What doest thou here? You see how God would search us through interrogation when it comes to disobedience, when it comes to division, when it comes to direction. Do you really want to pray this prayer? Do you remember the question he asked Isaiah? Whom shall I send and who will go for us? As I said, when we, God willing, get our new building open, we want to get some things moving, some things going. And maybe God's going to ask you that question. Whom shall I send and who will go? Who's going to put their shoulder to the wheel? It's searching questions. We can't all do everything, but surely we can do something for God. Whom will I send and who will go for us? Is God revealing your heart when he asks this question? I'm not willing to go. I'm not willing to speak a word from my master. I'm not willing to take the opportunity that's given. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And God can search our heart through interrogation. He can search our heart through instructions. Remember what he said to Abraham in Genesis 22. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. What a set of instructions for a father to have. I want you to take your son. I want you to go up the mountain, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. What a searching set of instructions. How would Abraham respond? How Abraham responds would reveal his devotion, his love for the Lord. He was asked to give up the most precious thing in his life at that moment for God. What a set of instructions. This is how God searches our heart. Don't pray the prayer. Don't pray it if you don't want to hear. Sometimes interrogation, sometimes instruction. He is the one who can peer into our hearts. Do you see the personal nature in Psalm 139? Look at verse 23 again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. There are 31 words in these two verses. There are 6 personal pronouns. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. It's a prayer about affection. Search me. It's about reflection. Try me. It's about motivation. Know my thoughts. About his intention. See if there be any wicked way in me. It's about direction. Lead me in the way everlasting. This is a child of God asking God to look into the very depths of his heart, the very fibre of his being. He wants to be examined by God. He wants to be exposed before God. This word search means to dig for a treasure. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, I want you to get the spade out, and I want you to dig, and I want you to dig deep. And dig and let me know what's there. I want to be examined that I might have closer fellowship with thee. Lead me in the way everlasting. He wants to be led by God. There's a willingness here for God to search his heart. Here's something you may have noticed. Look up the chapter to verse number 1 again. Isn't it interesting that David is praying for something that God's already doing? Look at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And God has been searching David. But there must have been a reluctance. There must have been David kicking against it. David must have been trying to hoodwink himself, because he can't hoodwink God. And David must have been carrying on and carrying on as if everything was okay. But he realizes everything's not okay. And he says, search me, O God. And he's opening his heart to God. And now him and God are in agreement. He wants to be searched. Did you notice? Search me. Isn't it easy to pray that the Lord would search somebody else? Lord, would you search him? Lord, would you search her? But David's not there. David's saying, Lord, search me. And we're quick to search other people. We're quick to give them the look from the top of the head to the sole of the feet. And some of the churches I've pastored in, and I can see it from the pulpit, and people will come in, and there's always somebody, and they'll look everybody up and down. And it makes me feel uncomfortable in the pulpit. And sometimes we can search other people. But that's not what David's doing here. David's saying, search me, O God. Sometimes we're like the Laodiceans. The Laodiceans felt that they were okay. Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And God is searching this church. Here's what they thought. Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Here's what God saw. Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This church had a prayer, Lord, search me. God would have said, listen, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You have nothing good in you. You have nothing going for you. Nothing. And they thought they were way up here. And sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? And we need to get down before God and say, Lord, search me. I've often told the story about the lady who always complained about her neighbor's windows. She says, those windows are filthy. And she'd be looking out and she'd see the windows and say that they must never wash their windows. Until one day she was in the lady's house. And it wasn't her windows that were dirty, it was her own windows. Isn't it true? So often we can do what the Lord said. Beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Matthew 7. Verse 3, this word search not only means to dig, it means to ransack. It's as if someone had broken into your house and just opened up everything. It's like the police with a search warrant. And they're looking for something, and sometimes you see them going in, and they've that big battering ram, and they take the door off at the hinges, and every drawer's opened and healed upside down, and they search everywhere, whatever they're looking for. This is the idea behind the word, Lord, just ransack it. Turn everything upside down. Search me, O God, and know my heart. As I say, we can search our neighbors. We can search even our wives or our husbands. But this is asking God to search me. You see the peer, the only one that can peer. You see how personal this is. You see how purposeful this is. As I said, David's not praying this for the sake of looking good. Look again at verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Just catch these words again. Search me. Know me. Try me. See me. Lead me. David wants a thorough searching done. And then he wants God to lead him. Don't pray this prayer if that's not your goal. If you really don't want God to lead you in the direction he wants to lead you. Because in order to pray this prayer, it's not to satisfy curiosity. This is to pray if you really want to go on with God. Lead me. You want God to lead you. It means we admit what God reveals. It means if need be, we repent of what is revealed. It needs be, if we have to, we make good relationship with others. If that's what God reveals. Search me, know me, try me, see me. But Lord, don't leave me. But sometimes we're saying, search me, know me, try me, see me. And then Lord, leave me. Just leave me alone. That's not what David wants. David says, lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in a way that will bear heavenly fruit. You see, the only one that is able to peer God. You see how personal this is. You see how purposeful it is. And then you see the prayer itself. We need to pray this prayer every time we come to the Lord's table. Paul said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We can rightly talk about other places that remember the Lord four times a year and say that's awful. That surely is not as often as you come together. But I wonder sometimes, does it just become a routine for us? Or when we sit here on the Lord's day, do we say, Lord, search me. Search me and know my heart. Before we partake, it's not that we should walk out. God wants us to be here. God wants us to remember the Lord. And I think every time we come to remember the Lord, we need to say, Lord, search me and know my heart. We need to pray this when we're experiencing prosperity. Psalm 62 verse 10. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Here's the danger when God prospers us, that we set our heart in the wrong things. And they begin to take over, and we need to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. We need to pray this prayer when we're facing adversity. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Is God chastening for some reason? It is, and I know it's not always. Now, I have to say this time and time again. I never want to give the wrong impression. When things go wrong, it's not always that God is chastening us. Sometimes it is. How can we know? Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. In times of adversity, we need to pray this prayer. In times of unfruitfulness, John 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. When there seems to be nothing happening, when there seems to be a lot of work and a lot of service and no blessing, say, search me, O God. That's what they had to do with Achan. Remember, they searched and they found the wedge of gold, and Achan was found out. And that's the reason there was no blessing in Israel at that particular time. And looking just at our own sphere of service, search me, O God, and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. When our prayers are unanswered, and I know there are many reasons that God doesn't answer the way we would expect him to answer. But the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And maybe it's not just that our prayers are not being answered. We have the sense that we're not even getting through to God. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. We need to pray this prayer, I think, in privacy and honesty. Search me. In sincerity and confidentially, search me, O God. And know my heart. That's because of our depravity. Try me and know my thoughts. That's our capacity. And see if there be any wicked way in me. That's the possibility. And lead me in the way everlasting. We need to pray this prayer. You know, I've mentioned this before. I've looked at some searching in Scripture, and we're going to do it together just for a few moments. Bear with me. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 31. We're not that far from Genesis, just back to the beginning. I think this prayer carries a warning notice. I don't want to talk about prayer being like a packet of cigarettes. That would be blasphemy. But, you know, there's a warning notice in some things. Handle with care. And I just want to say, if you're going to pray this prayer, I want to make you aware of a few things. That's why it's the most courageous thing, I believe, that David did. In Genesis chapter 31, Jacob has now left Laban. He has taken Rachel and Leah with him. And Rachel had stolen these images from her father. A foolish thing to do, but she had done it. Genesis 31, verse 34. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture. Genesis 31, 34. And sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. Then she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee. Remember, she's sitting on them, for the custom of woman is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. Let me just say this. That won't happen when God searches. That won't happen. There'll be absolutely nothing hidden. So before you pray this prayer, remember that nothing will escape God's eye. Now, if you're still in Genesis 31, come over to Genesis chapter 44. Perhaps one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Joseph. I preached a series in Joseph. It was my first series in Rough Island. I'm tempted to preach it again because a lot of you never heard it. I might go into sermon audio someday and just take it all off and preach it again as if I'd never preached it before. He's a wonderful character, and he's well worth preaching on, and he's well worth preaching on twice. But you'll remember how that Joseph at this stage knew who they were, but he didn't reveal himself to his brother. And so he plays a few games with them. He sends them back and he says, I want you to bring back Benjamin. And you remember, I preached one Sunday and let Benjamin go. And Benjamin's father didn't want to let him go. And sometimes, if Jacob would never have met Joseph if he hadn't let Benjamin go. And Joseph's the type of Christ. And we'll never get right in the relationship with Christ unless we let Benjamin go, whatever that Benjamin is in our lives. But you remember what they did then, and how that Benjamin came, and then they're searching for this thing, this cup that's missing. Look at Genesis 44, verse 12. And Joseph has sent his people after them to search these sacks. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Now, of course, it was planted there. And we know what Joseph was at. Here's the thing. There was something found that was never expected. There was something found that was never expected. Before you pray this prayer, not only will nothing be hidden, but there could be something found that you never expected. When you go for a medical scan, you just sometimes don't know what it's going to reveal. When you come for a spiritual scan, you just don't know what it's going to reveal. And what revealed Benjamin them had to go back, it hindered their journey. And God could reveal something that you're not expecting. Don't pray this prayer. Because nothing's going to be hidden. And God could reveal something that you've never expected. Here's something else. Come over to Numbers chapter 13. I'll just keep you working when you're at it this evening. I need a drink. This again is the well-known story of the 12 spies. You remember they went out to search the land? Numbers 13, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land. You remember how 10 of them come back? You remember Joshua and Caleb, they were different. They said, we're well able to conquer this land. God's for us. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched. There's the word searched again. Unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone out to search it is a land eaten up with the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. They brought back a dishonest report. God will be honest with you. You know, if we were searching each other, At times we may soften the blow. We may hold back on what we have to say. God won't hold back. God's going to be honest with you. And I'm putting these caveats in because before you pray this prayer, you need to know this tonight. Nothing's going to be hidden. Nothing will hinder the search. Something could be discovered that you never expected. And God will be absolutely honest. But here's the thing tonight. You know, when, I don't want you to turn to this, but when we're going through the life of David and Saul, you'll discover that Saul really hounds David for most of his life. And this is what is said in 1 Samuel 23, verse 23. If he is in the land, then will I search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. Saul says, I don't care where he is, I'm going to find him. And Saul was searching for David to do him harm. When God searches our hearts, whatever he reveals, it's not to do us harm. It's not to hurt us. It's to help us. And so, yes, there may be something revealed that we didn't know. There may be something that we pretended wasn't there, and God says, I'm not going to hide it. God's going to be honest with you when it comes to the report. But in Israel, I have to say, he's not trying to harm you. Not trying to harm you. A politician on one occasion said to a minister, I want to know more about myself. And the man said, look, go out into the rain, lift up your face heavenward, and you'll receive a revelation. The next day he came back. He said, nothing happened. All happened was the rain ran down the back of my neck, and I was a fool. He says, that's not bad for day one. Martin Luther said, I am more afraid of mine own heart than of the Pope and all his cardinals. I have written me, I have within me the great Pope self. Luther had to pray this prayer. David had to pray this prayer. I have to pray this prayer. Are we courageous enough to pray this prayer? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for these couple of verses in this great psalm. And Lord, we have to be honest tonight. There's times, Lord, if we had prayed this prayer, then, Lord, we may not have been in the bother we were in. We may not have had some of the difficulties we had to face. But, O Heavenly Father, help us tonight if we need to have a spiritual spring clean. And, Lord, you know our hearts. Help us, Lord, to pray it through. Search me. And then, Lord, lead me. Whatever we find, whatever you reveal, give us the grace. Indeed, give us the courage to respond to what God reveals to us. Lord, you don't search us to harm us. Lord, you search us to help us. And so, Heavenly Father, in all honesty, this prayer will lead to a real blessing. Encourage us tonight. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray.